Welcome to Signs of Life, exploring survival of consciousness. Brought to you by Forever Family Foundation, on the web at foreverfamilyfoundation.org.
I call your name, the echo is haunting, the echo is always the same. I call your name, the echo is haunting, an echo can never be changed, so I call your name.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to Signs of Life Radio, and this is the Medium Insights program, which is usually hosted by Roman Karpyshka, who couldn't be with us tonight. So I am Tom Gould, and I will be filling in for Roman, apart from my usual spot as a member of the gathering on the first Thursdays of the month. Tonight's is a show where we delve into asking mediums questions about their what they do and how they do it and that sort of thing. I will remind the audience that even though you can call in and ask questions, there will be no readings tonight. If you want a reading, call back next Thursday when we have Mediums and Messages with Joe Peretta. But tonight we're very happy to welcome Laura Wister to our program. Laura is an intuitive medium, teacher, and host of the Intuitive Life podcast on mindbodyspirit.fm. On her journey of 18 years, she has studied with top teachers in her field from the U.S. and the U.K. Laura is a spiritualist minister ordained by the Journey Within Spiritualist Church in Pompton Lakes, New Jersey. She is also a certified medium with the Forever Family Foundation. With a calm and supportive presence, Laura offers private intuitive sessions to help you become the person you are meant to be while honoring where you are today. In addition, she offers private mediumship sessions that offer peace in the awareness that your departed loved ones are still present. And Laura has quite an extensive calendar, which you can find on her website. Just to let you know that on June 1st, she'll be doing an evening of mediumship and spirit art with Joe Scheel in Methuen on the North Shore of Massachusetts. September 15th, she will be doing an evening of mediumship and spirit art with Rita Berkowitz and Lori Sheridan in Norwell on the South Shore of Massachusetts. And on November 16th, she'll be doing an evening of mediumship with Laura Wister back in Methuen, Massachusetts. Again, the number, if you want to ask Laura a question, is 1-888-627-6008. And before I actually introduce you to Laura, let me let you know that this Forever Family Foundation is holding a summer solstice raffle. Chances are $5 each, and with a chance, you get in the running for a reading with one of five of our certified Forever Family mediums. And once you buy a ticket, you're in the running until every spot has been filled. And that raffle will be drawn on the summer solstice, which is June 21st, 2023. That can be found on our website, foreverfamilyfoundation.org. And without any further ado, I would like to welcome Laura to your airwaves. Hi, Laura. How are you?
Hi, Tom. How are you? I'm so happy to be here tonight.
Yeah, I'm happy to be here as well. I got to let the listeners know that I am familiar with Laura although she's relatively new to the foundation, she's already hit the ground running and been a valuable resource for us. I've been to a couple of grief retreats where Laura was there and did very well. So it's nice to have you here on the air with us. Let's jump right into it. How did you first become aware that you had the ability to do mediumship?
Yeah, well, I didn't have a near-death experience or anything like dramatic like that. But I was always sensitive as a child. I was very aware of which I didn't know at the time was the spirit world. I just thought everybody kind of knew things and could feel things and sense energy around them. I just thought everybody could. I thought that was part of being a child, and I never really thought I was any different. But then, fast forward, I was a young mom, and I was dealing with anxiety and depression, and I didn't know really how to deal with that. I didn't want to really do medication if I didn't. There's a place for it, I get it, but I kind of wanted to find other options to try to avoid that. So I started meditating, and I did the same guided meditation for like 6 months, like it's the same 20-minute meditation. And one day I was with a group of people who, there was a few people present who had lost someone very close to them. And I suddenly started to hear this person talking to me, and it seemed to come out of the blue, but I think I was, through all the meditating I was doing, I think I sort of set myself up for it. And so I approached a point where I had to decide if I needed to find some help to understand what was going on with me. Cause I thought something must be wrong with me. How can I be hearing somebody that I can't see? So I came to the conclusion, either something was wrong with me and I needed some help, or I needed to find out exactly what this was. A lot of the information that came through from this person was validated by the people there. It took me probably a week and a half to actually get enough courage to actually ask them, do you understand this? Because I really didn't know what was going on. I just heard this person talking to me and telling me all these things. And I was questioning my sanity, actually. But through synchronicity, I came across a book by John Edward, who was probably one of the few people that at that time was actually doing this type of work publicly. This was like 20 years ago. So through reading his book, I realized what was happening. And at that point, I decided to learn more to try to understand what I was experiencing. So through that, I started going to a meditation class, and then I went into a psychic development group that was a weekly group that I was going to and trying to learn everything I possibly could about what I was experiencing and to understand the world of energy. And so I never thought when I started that I would be doing what I'm doing today and being a spiritualist minister and working with the Forever Family Foundation and doing readings every day. That was not my goal. That wasn't what I was looking for, but that's where the road led. And so that's where I am today.
Wow, that's fantastic. Are you alone in this, or are there members of your family who also have abilities? Do you know?
I believe I'm not alone in this. I think it does run in families. I know I have a couple of aunts who a few other family members have, in a good way, have called them witches because they knew things. And there's also a rumor of a distant relative in Lithuania who was like the village witch. So I know that. So I do think it runs in families, and I do think as circumstances, there's nurture in nature. I think there's It's genetic in some cases, and I think it's circumstantial as well. It's like what people are experience as a child and what they that is necessary to survive. I think sometimes it comes up as more of a survival mechanism. And so if it's already innate in someone naturally, if someone's going through a survival type of situation in their life for whatever reason that might be, it can actually awaken that even more.
Wow. Here's a question that I'm always curious about. I've heard some mediums say that they cannot read themselves. Like if they have a mother or someone who has passed, that they need to go to a different medium if they want to get a reading. Do you find that that is true for you as well?
I do, and there's definitely a reason for that. I mean, we can certainly feel mediums can feel the presence of their loved ones because like I'm going to use this analogy. So say there's someone in your life that you're very close to in the living, and they might walk in a room, but you don't even look at them, but you know it's them because you just feel their energy signature, right?
Yes.
So mediums can feel that. They can kind of say, I feel my mom close, or I feel my grandmother close. But when it comes to the way that we communicate messages to our sitters, our clients, the people receiving messages from us, the way we deliver it to them is very different. Because it a lot of times it comes through like memories. And so if I start experiencing a memory that I know was not mine, then I can then relay it to the person receiving the message from their loved one. But if I share the same memories with my grandmother, it'd be hard for me to tell the difference.
Oh, yes, that makes sense.
So that's kind of, I think that's one of the reasons why, mediums can't read for themselves. We can't be as objective in that way.
And you describe that you get a memory. A lot of, many mediums, some will hear words and some will get images. How does spirit come through to you? Basically putting an actual memory in your path.
Yeah, that's one of the ways. I mean, it's like psychic charades. They'll drop images in, and then that one image might have a lot of meaning in it. Like they say, a picture has a thousand. What's the word? What's the saying? A
One
picture.
sure is worth a thousand words.
Thank you. Thank you for filling that in. So there's that, and also they might actually show me a series of images that I can through that. Figure out what they're trying to get across to their loved one. So there's clairvoyance, which is the images that come through, and it's my mind's eye that I might see it. There's also clairaudience, and there's two different types of clairaudience, and there's objective and subjective. So the objective clairaudience is a bit more rare. From time to time, I will hear a voice, literally will hear someone in spirit's voice in the air around me. It's super rare. I think it takes a lot of energy for them to do that, but it's incredible when it happens, and it's very affirming that spirit is very present. But most of it is the subjective clairaudience, where it sort of comes in my own mind's voice, but I know it's not coming from me. So I'll hear information coming through from loved ones. I also have, there's a sense of, clairsentience, just knowing what they're trying to get across. That there's multiple senses that are happening during a connection with the spirit world.
We have a Rose from Philadelphia on the line who would like to ask you a question. Rose, are you there?
Hello.
Hello, Rose?
Hi, Rose.
Well, we
Hi,
had
I think you're cutting in and out. I'm not sure if you can hear me.
There you are.
yes, we can hear you.
Hi. I just
Hi.
have a very quick question. I just would love to know, I lost someone close to me last year, and I would love to know how can I find out if he's okay or if he's suffering in any way
Oh
on the
gosh,
other side.
I could tell you that they are all okay on the other side, and oftentimes it's and I'm so again I'm so sorry for your loss. I know it's a recent passing for you, but we really they really are okay. And I know it's a natural thing as human beings in the physical world to kind of imagine that it's very similar to what life is like here, right? Are they okay? But they truly are. They just are pretty much who they are, except without their physical experience. It's more of the energetic experience. The thing is that people think that the spirit world is very far away from us, and it really isn't. We're actually part of their world. And it's not separate from us. They're actually all around us. What you can do to sort of reassure yourself that they're okay is to develop a conversation with them, or develop a way of communicating with your loved one. And much like if someone in your home suddenly lost their hearing, you would learn sign language so that you could communicate with them, right? So when someone's on the other side, we can develop a series of ways to communicate with them. So, and sometimes people wait for their loved ones to reach out, and they look for all these, you know, something random to show up. But it really is okay to say, okay, this is what I want to see from you, to show me that you're all right. Right. It could be a song. It could be a symbol of some kind. I had a friend of mine, she had set up a symbol with her people as a deer, like literally a deer. And, you know, occasionally a deer would actually show up because she was in a place that deer would show up. But there's other times when deer would show up in the most unusual ways. You know, it might be on a t-shirt, or, you know, on it might show up in randomly on a billboard. You know, there's all these things where, and because spirit can get really clever with those things. And so I always say, make it fun, make it something that's going to make you smile when you see it, and be really open to how that particular image, song, sign, whatever it may be, you know, stay open to how that can come through. You'd be surprised how they'll bring it through. But they really, I mean, I just know for a fact, doing this for so many years now, that they really are okay, and they're better than good. So, and I know we're going on faith on that, but I hope you can embrace that.
Yeah, and also, it's probably a good time to mention that the Forever Family Foundation tests and certifies many mediums. And they're all listed on our website, theforeverfamilyfoundation.org. You can go there and see all the mediums and get yourself a reading to get direct messages. And I know you're from Philadelphia, and we're based, we're all over the place, but you might look in the list and say, well, there aren't any mediums in the immediate Philadelphia area. What can I do? A lot of mediums, and Laura, you can back me up on this if it's true, actually prefer doing readings over the phone, or even now with Zoom or Skype. So you don't have to physically be with a medium to get a good reading. And I always find it funny when I tell people about this, and they say, really? A reading over the phone? That seems so difficult. And I'm thinking, well, wait a minute. You're willing to accept that the medium can communicate to another dimension, exactly. But over the phone is the... So...
That's right. That's like a really good point. Yeah. And it tends to be more personal preference for the medium, whether they work in person or on Zoom or phone. It depends on, you know, the working circumstances and things. I know it's the case for me, but yeah, it really doesn't matter what form that takes, that that your loved ones can still stay connected.
Thank you very much, Rose, for your call. And we're, again, sorry for your loss, and hope you find comfort in the future. I've also heard that, you know, when mediums do readings, the next day, yes, you can ask them, and they pretty much don't remember the readings, because you're a conduit. You're not making the reading happen. You're just facilitating the reading. Is that something that you find also, or do readings stand out? Are there any specific instances? I'm recall a medium describing an unusual reading that involved a monkey, and it turned out the sitter actually had a pet monkey. I mean, do you get anything of that nature that you could share?
Yeah, those things are definitely more memorable. Like those things will stand out. But you're right. A lot of things I don't remember. Because we are the conduit. We're not producing it from our own mind. It's just passing through it. So, especially so when I'm doing, when I'm working with a large group, you know, in a demonstration of mediumship, I seem to have less retention there as well. I think maybe just because there's just so much energy going on. And I'll say, I said that. I don't remember saying that. People say, yeah, you did. I don't remember. There's so many unusual things. I would love to, there's one that happened recently, but just for privacy reasons, I would love to share it with you because it was just a very remarkable thing. It was just a real strong reflection of the human experience and forgiveness and everything. It was so powerful. It was one of those things that afterwards it brought tears to my eyes because it really is about healing, you know, the connection connections that we do. It's reassurance, which is, you know, a good thing as well. Reassurance that loved ones do live on, but in the most difficult of circumstances with loved ones who may have passed with unresolved issues and things, that it really is about healing, that it shows that we can continue to heal with our loved ones if their earthly personality didn't allow for that, you know, that we can continue to have that connection and to grow with them on the soul level from the other side. It's quite remarkable.
Now, I know at the grief retreats, you see a lot of people and maybe see people again over the weekend. Do you find that if you get that you will recognize a familiar energy when you've read a sitter before and the same spirit comes in?
It does. It's happened. And I've actually read for, which I didn't know. So a lot of times people refer their friends or family. And I specifically ask people not to share how, you know, anything specific about their connections and who their people are. But there'll be times where I'll read for somebody and then their friend's brother comes through and then she'll, you know, and with a little hello, and then I'll move on to that, my sitter's other, you know, family. And then they'll go on and they'll tell their friend, hey, your brother came through in my reading. and then their friend will come later, a few months later, and I'll say, I feel like I know this person. Like I've connected with them before. And they'll say, yes, you have. They came through with my friend's reading and that's why I'm here. So it does happen from time to time that I'll feel a similarity.
So is that energy, would you say it's a personality that the energy has or what is it about the energy that is familiar?
It's like a signature. I think we each have our own frequency. Because when we go over, we're all energy, so we all have our own frequency. So it feels similar. It feels like, gee, I've met this person before. Whereas if, you know, we meet someone in the physical world, we might remember their name or we might remember their, you know, their face. But when it comes to working as a medium, we'll remember their signature, their energy. So, so there'll be a familiar, you know, a sense of knowing there. Yeah, it's pretty cool, actually. It's like connecting with an old friend. It's really neat.
You know, I get a lot of times people asking, especially if they're new to this way of thinking, and if I bring it up that I am involved in this, you know, I will get sometimes the shock and the gasp, and they're like, oh no, you can't do that, you're opening the door for demons and evil spirits and all that sort of thing. Have you ever had a demon or evil spirit visit with you?
Never. I've never had that happen. And And I've even done, like, I used to be part of the New England Ghost Project, which was, they did a lot of paranormal investigating in places that were very active. And if I was going to come across anything evil, I think I would come across it there. I'm not much into the paranormal world anymore. My thoughts of what that exactly is a totally different. I think of that completely in a completely different way now. I think a lot of the fear that comes up around that is a lot of Hollywood. You know, people's Definitely. Perception of the spirit world is formed through ghost stories and fear. And it really is. I mean, it not to sound all, you know, puppies and rainbows here, but it really, you know, our basis of our energy is love. And so that they can't be evil there. It's just not, it can't coexist in that same space. So, I've never come across anything, knock on wood. I've never come across anything evil, or anything. There's been people who've come through who weren't the best people in life.
Well, that was my next question. I've seen many readings where somebody's, father or brother or someone who was abusive to the person in real life, and they're coming through in a reading, and the sitter will say, "Oh no, I do not want to hear from that person." Right. Do you get that?
It does happen from time to time. It's like, yeah, you know, I'm good with that. close the door on them. But a lot of times they'll be one of the first energies that come through in a reading. Because they're very aware. When we go over on the other side, nobody's immune to this, I think, because it doesn't really matter if you're like the best person in the world and the most, you know, or the person who's like really the most difficult. Because we live beside people, we live with people, we interact with people. No matter what, there's always something, even if it was unintentional. We always have influence on others around us, right? And whether that had a negative influence or a positive influence, intentionally or not, it's still there. So when we go over, we all have a life review. We get to see how our choices, our actions affected everybody, right? So someone who is especially difficult in life and made life very difficult for people and maybe hurt others, they will get a chance to see what that, you know, what their influence was on others. So a lot of times they're the first ones out of the gate when I connect with someone and say, "Yes, I've got your dad here." "Oh no, I don't. I don't want to talk to them." But I might just gently say, you know, can I just give you one sentence from him? And that they might be aware, you know, open to that. And it might just be a very deep apology, and then they'll understand. But so because it, you know, the very core of this is healing, and so it does happen from time to time. Yeah,
yeah, I've heard that. You know, people talk about how your life passes before your eyes when you pass, and mm-hmm. you know, you get a life review. And our image is that you're seeing your life as a mini movie, and you're seeing all the things you've done, but it's more than seeing the bad things you've done, or being told that you did things that were bad. I was told that you will actually feel how you made somebody else feel when you did these things. And I think that that's a very strong message, that, as you say, that the person who was abusive in life and then gets on the other side and feels how bad that makes you feel, it makes sense that the immediate thing is, "Oh my gosh, I got to get back and apologize for that."
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. And, cause it just reinforces that knowing that we're literally all connected, and what we do to one, we do to all, you know, and it's because we really are connected. And there's a great book by Anita Marjani. She it's called Dying to Be Me. And she she was passing away from cancer and had a near-death experience. So she has a great description about what it's like to be on the other side and to have that review and a review of the, you know, the difficult relationships in her life and what that actually meant and how that influenced her physical world. So, but she did come back and she's delivering that message everywhere. But it's quite an amazing book and a great story and a great insight in what it's like to be on the other side and what they experience of our world from the other side.
Yeah, it's actually great that there is a real market and a hunger for people to read about experiences, mediums, and how they do their thing, which leads me to the question, are you thinking of a book? Do you have a book in your future?
That's so funny. I have not wanted to write a book at all. That has not been something I've wanted to do, but I can't tell how many people have actually said, so when is your book coming out? I don't know. I don't know if I have one in me, but I always know that if it's meant to be, it'll happen somehow. Yeah.
Now we know that you're the, again, to reiterate that you're the phone booth, you're the conduit in between the spirit who and the person left here behind, the loved one, and getting a message through. And so when spirit recognizes that you can hear them and get the message, I am sure that they want to get to you right away. And of course, there are thousands of spirits around us. So how do you deal with spirit recognizing you and wanting to get messages through, pretty much probably 24/7?
Yeah. That's a really good question. And it was when the very beginning, when I was doing, the meditations and I didn't know this was what, you know, when I first had that first experience with someone talking to me, it was like all of a sudden there was a light bulb that went on and it was like 3 o'clock in the morning. I'd feel like someone at the foot of my bed. But you know, over time, I learned that it was because I simply was not a trained medium. So I learned over time that, my on off switch is attention. So I would, of course, when I was trying to figure out what was happening, I kept putting my attention to that energy, trying to figure it out. But I didn't know in the meantime, when I was doing that, that it was actually making the connection stronger. So when it comes to mediumship, it's where attention your attention goes, energy flows. It's very true with mediumship. So when I'm not working, I'm not working, and I will not put my attention to the spirit world unless I want to. So I just know that if I do put my attention there, that it will get stronger, and it will actually, it's almost like picking up the phone. So I just don't do that anymore.
So for people who are listening in who want to develop their own abilities, I know we had a caller before who would like to know how to connect or what. I know that she was probably looking for something, for someone else doing it for you. But if people want to develop their own abilities, what techniques would you recommend for people to get started trying to do this for themselves?
Yeah, lots of things. So there's practices that you can do every day, but there's also, you know, maybe some more formal educational things that you can do. Definitely take an intuitive or psychic development class. I think it's good for anybody. Yeah. And just being in the physical world to be more aware of their own intuitive and psychic senses. Because it's not just our, you know, five physical senses. We're all, you know, very much energetic beings. So anytime you can take a psychic development class, intuitive development class, that's the basis for mediumistic development. So start there first. Even if you think you're a medium, start with the basics, because that's the core of, you know, the foundation of mediumistic development. And then at that point to go and do a development circle. I've had people come to me who want to be mentored as a medium, but they really don't want to take classes. I really don't think that's, I mean, at least I could be wrong, but I think my experience has been, it's really important to sit on a weekly basis with in development with other mediums, with a solid teacher with good ethics, to sit with them and practice and to be guided. It's only going to help. It builds a stronger community of people who are similar, focus as well. As far as, I think it's really important to have community when you're doing development, because it spiritual development, whether it be mediumship or otherwise, can be very confusing sometimes, because there's some things that just, you know, people might not feel like it resonates with them, and then they wonder, like, what's up with that? So it's always good to have community around to really try to keep you grounded and to keep you on the straight and narrow and the ethical path as well. But on a daily basis, if you just want to really get more tuned in to your intuitive side, it's just really pay attention and being fully present and spending time being fully present. So for example, I go for a walk every day, and I go to a place out in the woods where I can just listen to the birds and listen to the water rushing in the streams. And it keeps me present. And the more present we are, mediums have to be present. They have to be present with what's going on from the spirit world. So that's a good practice, not keeping your mind too far ahead in life and living in the past as well. It's just being fully present. So any kind of practice like that is good for psychic development or intuitive development in general.
Yeah. And also to add that, a lot of messages are very subtle. I think a lot of people, when they think, I want to get a message that they're going to see a burning bush or something like that. But and like you say, being present, you can be aware of that coin that you see in the ground that, you know, in an interesting spot, or that feather or that bird or something, that it will often be very, very subtle, and you, yes, and most people will just wave it away as coincidence, or oh, isn't that interesting, but not take it as the message, which must be very frustrating for a spirit on the other side to, you know. Another thing is, maybe you can elaborate on this, is that spirit, as much as we here in the physical world have to, as you say, take classes and practice and learn how to get to a spot where we can communicate. I believe on the other side, they have to learn how to lower their energy or lower their vibration so that they can get to that spot where they can communicate. So it's definitely learning on both sides for that. Is that something that rings true for you?
Oh, I completely agree. Yeah, I think, yeah, because they do go over with, you know, I think it seems to me, like sometimes younger people, for some reason, they can come through much, much quicker than, than jaded adults, you know? Yes. And also, like, creative types really know how to make this happen, or, you know, like musicians or artists, and they kind of find very creative ways to come across. You know, if someone's an electrician or someone who's very familiar with that, they might know how to work with the electricity in your house or something. But it's, I do think that sometimes they do have to learn how to make that connection. And it is easy to really miss those things too. And there was one thing that happened to me. I had lost a good friend of mine. She was like a second mom to me. And I was working at a little metaphysical bookshop, and I was closing up one night after closing hours. And I stepped out to lock the door, and I had to step outside the door to lock it and then come back in. So I had holding the door open, locking the door before I let it close. And I looked down on the ground, and this was the birthday of my friend who had passed. And I looked down on the ground, and there's a quarter sticking out of the crack in the ground, in the pavement. And it was sticking straight up. Right. So I'm like, that's interesting. So I grab it and I go back in, and I look at the quarter, and the quarter had the year that I was married. And
oh my goodness.
Yeah, and she was big on my wedding because she had never had her own children. So I was kind of like her only daughter, you know. And so she kind of looked at my wedding as like her daughter's wedding. So I knew it was very important to her. So it was on her birthday and it was so clear. So, but if I wasn't aware that that's how spirit communicates, I would have said, oh, a quarter, stuck it in my pocket and moved on. But things like that, it's really good to be open-minded to these things. And even if you're not completely sold on that, on the way that spirit communicates with us, to just say, okay, if that was you, keep doing stuff like that, because I got it, you know?
Yes.
To remind them that you did pick this up and that you did see this. And even if you're not 100% sure, I think it helps to keep them encouraged to continue to make those connections.
Yeah, I think that's a very important point, that when you get a sign and you recognize it, thank them for it and let them know that you, oh, yeah, I got that sign. And as you say, that they will do more. I was thinking about something yesterday, and I'm going to throw it out there and see your take on it. I have a relative that passed, and haven't heard directly in a reading, not somewhat, but not. And this person absolutely did not believe in any of this when he was alive. And if he even brought it up, he would, you know, he'd wave his hand. He didn't even want to hear about it. And I'm thinking, when he, you know, it's kind of like, you could communicate with the dead. No, you can't. You can't communicate with the dead. And now that he's on the other side and having difficulty communicating back, is he over on the other side going, you want to communicate with the living? You can't communicate with the living.
Yeah, I do. They do come across a lot of times in the way that they were. Otherwise, we wouldn't be able to recognize them, right? Yeah. So I've had people come across and they were like very staunch in their belief that this was, you know, this was it. This is all we have, you know? And they've come through very surprised, and they'll actually come across with that. Like, why, you know, your dad's very surprised that he's talking to us right now, you know? So there's things like that. And I've, you know, the way that they come through in the reading is like hysterical sometimes, because it really does show their personality. Like I was the other day, I did a series of readings, and the very first reading there was this woman that kept popping in, and my first person didn't understand. And I did my second reading. That person didn't understand this woman. And I think I finally got to the last session of the day, and I said, I have to tell you, this woman just keeps popping in, and she came into my earlier clients, but do you understand X, Y, and Z, da, 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 da. And she goes, oh my gosh, yes. And I said, can I ask you, was she a stickler for being on time? And she said she was such a stickler for being on time that she would always show up extra early. And I just had to laugh. And I just, you know, I had to go back to my other clients. Remember that lady that came? I just want to let you know that, you know, don't search for that relative that you didn't know, because it wasn't yours for sure. But it was, it's funny. They will come through very much in a way that lets us to know that it's definitely them, you know?
Another question that we get a lot, and wondering your take on it, is how soon after you experience your loss would you recommend a person wait before having a reading?
Really good question. And because it really doesn't matter how long they've been over for them. You know, there's been times that they've come in like the next day. Uh-huh. And there's times that they'll take 10 years to come in. So that part we have no control over. That's the variable. We don't know why it takes that long or why some people come in much sooner. But for us, when we have a loss, it really shouldn't be the first thing that someone looks for. At least that's my personal feeling about it. It also depends on where you are. I mean, you kind of have to have some self-assessment as far as where you might be with your grief. I believe sometimes when people come in and they're really, really hurting, like really, it's so recent and so raw that it's not always the best circumstances to have a reading. Sometimes it is, but a lot of times it isn't, because my feeling when someone comes in who is really grieving at that time, and it's not to say not to have a reading at all, but just not at that time. They're in a place where they're very, very fearful that their love, that maybe they can't find their loved one, or they can't hear from their loved one, or they're just in a place of fear and loss. And it's hard to connect in that. We always have to remember it's a three-way circuit. It's the medium, the receiver of that message, and the communicator. And if you think of it more, not that it's a bad frequency or whatever, but think of it more like a radio dial, right?
Yeah.
And spirit is like 107.9. And the medium is coming in at 104.1. And then I have to raise my vibration up. It's just, you know, just not too far up the dial to get to 107.9. But someone who's coming in, who's very grieving, they tend to be more grounded because they're in a fear-based space, because they're hurting terribly. So they stay more towards the physical frequency. So they're going to be on the other end of the spectrum here. So it's harder to make that circuit connect. And some people, and when I use that analogy, some people say, well, am I doing this wrong? Am I coming into the session with, you know, wrong? I'm like, not at all. It's because it's just owning where you are with your grief and understanding that's where you are, and knowing that this may not be the time, that you might need a little bit of time and maybe some grief counseling along the way. And knowing, I find that the best connections are the people who have either their loss was a long loss, like maybe of someone that they knew it was passing for several years, so they've been grieving them for a long time, like maybe someone who's had Alzheimer's or something, or they've been very ill and they've been grieving. They've had anticipatory grief for a long time, and they may be in a different place. And so then they're ready, you know, and they know their loved ones are okay. But then some who maybe have lost someone very tragically or sudden, it's really important to have that self-care and recognizing, when maybe counseling is necessary, and do that first. That's what I would always recommend, is go to counseling first, and with a grief counselor, someone who's been trained to process the mixed emotions that can come through. And at some point, a really good grief counselor will actually, may actually recommend at some point, you know, we've worked for a while, you may want to go see a medium. This might help you with the next steps here. And I've actually had grief counselors refer their clients to me after a certain amount of time, after they know that they're in a good space. And I find that those people are probably some of the, you know, the best connections that happen, because they've processed the grief in a healthy way. And so it's always good for the self-assessment and to recognize that where you are in that journey, you know.
Yeah, I'm hopeful that more and more grief counselors will go that way, because what I have observed is really, it's remarkable the change in some people that one good reading will do for them. And then, of course, having gotten readings myself, it you get such a warm, tingly feeling when it happens. And so that as soon as it's over, what do you want to do? Well, you want to do it again. So what do you do when your sitter says, well, can I come back next week? And the week after that, and they want to book you a lot.
Yeah,
it
happens. It does happen. I just had it, you know, a couple of days ago. I've had a couple of people that I was had for appointments say, when can I do this again? It is a good feeling to be connected and to be laughing again, and laughing along with your loved ones from the other side, and feeling that connection. Sometimes I'll say, you know, most of the time I will say, you know, can you give it a year before you come back to me? First of all, I might remember some of what came through, and although I might not remember all, it's important to preserve the integrity of the reading. If someone comes back right away and I know that their mother passed, I know all the details and everything, it'd be, that would be, difficult. So I say at least a year, for a mediumship reading. Also, I wouldn't recommend medium hopping either. It's good to go to different mediums to get a different, maybe a different connection with your loved one. But I know some people, they'll go one after the other after the other. And I don't know if that's healthy either, to be honest. But I do think, you know, from time to time, it's okay. And also, I should have mentioned this earlier too, because about timing, I have to share this story. Do we have time for that? We do.
Yes.
Okay. So I'm gonna fill in some details only for privacy purposes, but you'll get the gist of it. So I had someone come in several months ago, and a little bit into the reading, you know, it was going okay, but I kept hearing like, you know, do this later, you know, like reschedule. And I was like, and the thing was, my sitter was fine. She's like, okay, sure. I have no problem. I said, I just get the sense I need to like meet with you in a few months or so. Let's set that up. And she was totally fine with it. So in the meantime, a lot of things had happened in her life that she didn't expect to happen. And you know, it was just something that neither one of us could predict. But then on the day of the second connection, the second appointment, it ended up on the day that had incredible significance that neither one of us could see coming. And also there were people that came in that had passed in the meantime that mm-hmm. she didn't expect to lose in that time frame. And it ended up being really powerful for her. Like it was exactly what she needed. And if we had done, you know, if I had completed the appointment before, we may not have put the appointment on the day that we did, but it ended up having more meaning. So I always say, trust the process, trust. And it's not to say if a medium says we need to reschedule that somebody's going to lose somebody. That's not what I'm saying here, mm-hmm. but to trust why things don't pan out the way you hope that they do or you think they should. Because I do believe that spirit is really intelligent, and they'll guide us in the right direction for our highest and best good. So, so I found that to be that really, for me, was really affirming to me that spirit kind of knows what they're doing. So,
on our program, we deal a lot with talking about signs and that, and invariably we'll get a caller come in with a comment that always stops me dead in my tracks, and I have yet to have a good answer for it. So perhaps you can help me out. They say that when their loved one passed, they saw a lot of signs and they loved it. And now it's been in a year or so, they're not seeing signs so much anymore. And what is that? You know, what?
Yeah, I just had this conversation with a spiritual group, spiritual talk group. Not too long ago, there was somebody who was saying, why is this happening? My son used to come through all the time with all these beautiful signs, and I looked forward to seeing them all the time. And then it seemed to just sort of started to dwindle, and it stopped happening in the same way. And this is the best that I can, and I see it happen a lot with people. Sure. If we kind of back up the scene here and kind of look at the bigger picture, that comforting thing that makes us feel close to our loved ones is also think of it as when we lose somebody, it as much as we don't want to think of it this way, a lot of times it's part of our spiritual evolvement. Mm-hmm. And it's a catalyst for some of us to really look into our connection with spirit and our own spirit as well. And so I've often found that people who have looked for those things, they become reliant on it in a lot of ways, and they kept focusing on that connection. But I said to this one specific person, I said, it's an invitation now to understand your own connection to spirit in general, not just with your son, but what does it mean for you on a soul level, to maybe start exploring that. So I would think of it as sort of, that's the gift of grief, you know, that this person that we lost has opened a door for us in some way, and they've kind of stayed with us for a little while. Now they're like, okay, now this is your journey. Like, where are you going with this now that you know that the spirit world exists and I'm here and I'm safe? What does this mean for you now? And what does it mean for your life as you go forward? I think I know it's part of the grief process is feeling that comfort of connection, but also recognizing when it's time to take another step. It's almost like the reverse. If someone loses a child, it's almost like the reverse of letting them go off to college. Like they're kind of saying, now it's your time to go to college and learn your connection to the spirit world without me, you know? And so and I'm sure, you know, we've seen that with many time and time again with the Forever Family Foundation, you know, people coming through that as parents, that they've grown over time. And I think there was even recently at the last grief retreat, there was a couple who had lost somebody and they've gone on to help other parents. And would they have done that otherwise? Would they have learned, you know, maybe made a different connection with their own spirit and in that process? Maybe they would have, but maybe they wouldn't. But maybe that might have been the next step for them after realizing that their child was still around them, you know?
Absolutely. So, in fact, the Forever Family Foundation would not have existed if it weren't for that situation.
Exactly. And it's other people have come through as attendees and now are doing similar work, very much like Bob and Fran did. So it's just, I don't know, my heart just expands so much when I see this happening. Cause it just feels like it's so much of a bigger plan, that we just can't even wrap our minds around it. But I know it's good.
And a lot of our mediums start to build up quite a waiting list about if someone were to reach out to you for a reading, which if you want to give your contact, but also what kind of a waiting list are you working with?
I do have quite a wait list right now, but I just, you know, just go through my website and you can ask to be put on the notification list for when appointments open up. And it's running a few months now. I'm booked through July at the moment, but I'll be opening up a late summer appointment soon. And anybody who's already on my notification list will get the email to be able to book their appointment. So if anybody gets on the list right now, they can expect to probably get notified by the end of the year.
Yeah, that's pretty good. I've heard that some of them will be up to 2 years long. So that's pretty good. And you, of course, again, to reiterate, on the foreverfamilyfoundation.org website, you can go to the mediums and the contact is there. You can link to you and that. One last little quick question is, how do you feel about people recording the reading?
I don't have any problem with it, really. I think it's, it helps them to become more present because they don't have to worry about remembering everything.
Yeah.
But I have more of a preference for people writing things down rather than recording. Only because it's for twofold. You know, first of all, it gives them a record of things. But also sometimes when people write something down that I've given them and they'll say no right away. But then they'll write it. Well, I'll write it down, and then they write it down. And when once they see it on paper, they go, "Oh, wait a minute! I did. I do have an Uncle Harold."
Yes.
And they just said, "I don't." You know, it's like so. So I think that for me, it just makes my job easier if they write things down. Recording's okay, but I think at least they're more present when they're writing things down.
Yeah, I think it's essential that you do something because when you're in the reading and especially your mind is channeling in on one person that you want to hear from, and then somebody else comes in and right away you're going, well, that's not the person I wanted to hear from, and you lose a lot of that information. So it's very important that you have something to go back to later on. But it looks like I'm afraid we're coming to the end of our time here. It's gone by so quickly. This has been great talking to you. And any last thing you want to say to our listeners?
Just keep talking to your people. because they do hear. Trust me, they do hear you. So keep
great
that. So I've had many people like you when they come in for sessions and just tell my dad I love him. I said, you just did.
Yeah, that's a perfect way to end. And we always end our broadcast by saying that your loved ones are only a heartbeat away, and science is going to prove it. Good night, Laura.
Good night, Tom. Thank you so much.
Thank you.